Lord, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Now, I'm not an Old Testament guy, but I was excited when I got Exodus 17 as my text to preach on, because 2 years ago, I sat in Professor Adams and Professor Eggers' Exodus and the Torah class, and guess what text I got assigned for my exegetical? Exodus 17, 1-7. Unfortunately, when I went back through my files, I pulled out that exegetical, and on the front of it, it said 87%, and I said, well, crap, I'm going to have to start over. Exodus 17 contains some of the best dialogue that we see in Scripture, in my opinion. There's about 20 different things any of us could preach on that would be helpful to our walk in the Christian life. The text starts off with the people of Israel, God's people, doing what God's people do best, complaining. And they're complaining to God, and they're saying, you've brought us out of Egypt, out of that slavery, just to die here in the desert of thirst. And as they quarrel with Moses, what we start to realize is that they're not quarreling with Moses, they're quarreling with God. They're doubting his faithfulness. Have you been there? Have you doubted God before? Have you struggled with your trust? Have you wondered at the end of the month how you're going to pay your bills? How you're going to pay for books? How you're going to pay for tuition? Have you wondered how your busy life is going to pan out and how you're ever going to have time for maybe some personal study or devotion? Do you struggle with trust? And I'll be honest, as call day approaches, I'm really struggling with trusting God. See, as I look towards call day, I know in my head that I have a preset plan for my life. I know where I want to go. I know the kind of congregation I want to go to. I know that they're going to pay me a lot of money to do very little work. I'm sure of it. But what if on call day they say, Travis Ferguson, three parishes, North Dakota, which, let's be honest, is just South Canada. What is going to happen then if my dreams are shattered? Do I trust God? And as I struggle with my trust, I realize that my lack of trust comes out of my fears, out of my desires, and out of my misplaced trust. And the same is true for you. And what we start to realize at the end of the day is that our cries against God and his faithfulness are but an echo of the cry of the people of Israel. And yet God provides. Not always like we want him to, of course, but God provides. As Moses goes to God in prayer, which I can only imagine to be one of the most fearful prayers he's ever prayed, as he wonders if he's going to get a stone in the back of the head as he's praying, God answers. And God provides. He sends forth water from a rock. Now, admittedly, I am not the brightest crown in the box, okay? I'm not the smartest guy. But mama didn't raise no fool. I know that water doesn't come from a rock. You know that. And that's what's so beautiful about it. Not only does God meet a need here, not only does he provide water for the people of Israel in the midst of their quarrelsome attitudes, but he shows the people of Israel and he shows us that this is his creation, that he can do whatever he wants, that if he wants to make water come from a rock, he can do it. It's beautiful. Water coming from a rock, grace flows out. God keeps giving, even when we doubt, even when we struggle with trust, even when we have faith as small as a mustard seed. God keeps giving. This all starts to make a little bit more sense when you jump into the New Testament, though. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says that this is a spiritual rock, and that rock is Jesus. And we start to understand it even more when Jesus himself says in John 7, he says, if you're thirsty, come to me. I've got the living water. And out of those who trust in me, out of their heart will flow living water. And suddenly you realize this is not just a heap of minerals here in Exodus. This is an image. It's a symbol. It's a story of how God is going to save mankind. That the side of Jesus is going to be pierced, and that from his side is going to pour forth both blood and water. And that water cleanses us in baptism, and that precious blood nourishes us each time we take the Eucharist. How beautiful it is to see how grace flows in, even though we don't deserve it. I'll be honest, though. Those words from Jesus, out of the hearts of those who trust in me will flow streams of living water, makes me squirm a little bit. Because I'm not good at that. And it all goes back to my fears, my misplaced trust, and my personal desires. All those things get in the way of me bringing life to certain situations. What about you? Do streams of living water, does grace flow out of you? And your first reaction is probably, yes, I'm studying at the place of all things good and holy, right? Second to Fort Wayne, okay? Sorry, Dr. Meyer. Does living water flow out of you? Are you patient with the parishioner who's done nothing but be a thorn in your side? Are you loving to your spouse who constantly nags you about how much homework you have to do? Are you caring for the person that is hurting all the time? Do you talk behind people's backs because you're too coward to talk to their face? Are you so set in your ways that when somebody comes to you offering you a suggestion that you immediately turn them away? Professors, if you're up for suggestions, I don't want to do any more reading. I've got 62 days left. I'm tired, okay? So prove whether grace flows out of you. We have a hard time with grace flowing out. And yet grace continually flows in. God keeps giving us his forgiveness. The sacrament still nourishes us. God still loves us because it's not dependent on you. It's not dependent on me. Grace flows in. Does grace flow out? I think back to St. Patrick, which is only fitting for today. St. Patrick, when he was a teenager, was captured by pirates and he was sold into slavery in Ireland. And over his time there, he prayed for God to give him deliverance. Show me a way out, Lord. And eventually in a dream, St. Patrick saw the way out and he escaped. And he went on to become a priest. And then he returned to Ireland. By the time St. Patrick died, the whole nation of Ireland had become Christian. Grace flows in. Grace flows out. Here's my prayer for us, that we join Jesus on his mission, that we go to people who look different than us, that we go to people who've hurt us, that have oppressed us, maybe even people that threaten our freedom, that from our hearts, which was once hard as a rock, would flow streams of living water. Grace flows in, grace flows out. Amen.